And love are yours through faith in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Paul the Apostle, when he writes to the church, urges us to imitate him. Here from Philippians 4:9, hear what he says. He says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be in you." Paul writes not just as this guy, Paul. He writes as an apostle, as one who has seen the resurrected Jesus, as one who has been sent by God under God's own authority, and he writes inspired by the Spirit of God. So that's why he can say, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Reminiscent of what James says, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Whatever we've learned, received, or heard from Paul or seen in him, put it into practice. With that in mind, let's consider that one simple phrase from our reading this morning, Philippians 1:21, where Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Here is Paul's reality. This is Paul's worldview. This is Paul expressing his all in all. And it's Christ. This is the life that he is modeling for us. This is what he is exhorting us to, calling us to. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So here's that point where it's good to examine ourselves. God calls us together on a regular basis to do that work of recalibrating ourselves, of realigning ourselves, because we are all, every one of us, like a car that's been riding through New England after a long winter. We've hit every pothole you can imagine, and we are hopelessly out of whack. We want to drift this way now, we want to drift that way, we let go of the wheel, we're not going straight and true. We come here to get realigned, to get refocused, to get recalibrated. So Paul's word is going to help us do that this morning. So for me, to live is, take an honest look at yourself. What fills in that blank for you right now? To live is blank. We put all sorts of things in that blank, don't we? Apart from and in place of Christ. For me, to live is... What is it for you? Playoff baseball? The Patriots of all things? For me, to live is... And these could be all sorts of good and God-given things. Maybe you are living 100% day in, day out for your kids. Everything you do is for them. Now, in one part, that's good, right? God has called you. You're a mom, you're a dad, you're a grandparent, a godparent, an aunt or an uncle. God's called you to care for those kids in your life. But are they intended to be the end-all, be-all? To live is my kids. No. Maybe some of you would fill in my job, right? For me, to live is to work. Maybe you feel forced to, or maybe that's where you get your sense of purpose, your accolades, the attaboys from your coworkers, from your boss. What is it? For me, to live is... For me, to live is preparing for the future. It's getting a good education. It's working hard now. It's putting money in the bank. It's preparing for 20 years from now when I'm going to retire. To me, to live is what? What fills that blank? Paul says, to me, to live is Christ. The reality is far too often, more often than not, I'm putting something else in that way. And again, it may be a good and God-given thing. But whenever we take something else and we put it in place of Christ, what do we call that thing? What's it called? It's an idol, right? It's a replacement for God. It's a false god. And here's the trouble with this. When we build our lives on something other than Christ, that something other than Christ, whether it's a spouse, a job, another person, an experience, a thing, whatever that is that we're building our lives on, that thing will at some point let us down. It will fail us. Jesus never will. What is that thing that we are setting our affection on in place of Christ? What are we thinking of when we wake up in the morning? What haunts us at night? Where are our affections? What are we hungering for? What motivates us? What gives us a drive? What is that thing? If it's not Christ, it's an idol. And what do we do with that? Once again, humble ourselves before God. We acknowledge it. We say, God, this is taking your rightful place in the center of my life. This person, this place, this experience, this thing has my heart, and only you should have my heart fully. I'm trying to build my life on this, and I know that this is dangerous because this could be gone tomorrow. But you will last forever. God, help me. We're driven when we see those idols. We're driven to prayer. And we're driven to say, God, please reorder, realign, recenter me on you and you alone. Jesus, you are life. You are truth. You are strength and wisdom. You is my hope. Lord, please let my life be all about you. That was Paul's focus. Now, for all of us, that there is a sense where that is an objective reality, right? To me, to live as Christ. If you're a Christian, that is objectively true. By nature, we come into this world spiritually dead, right? Our sinful nature is dead. We're dead to God. We are incapable of natural affection towards Him, natural trust towards Him. The Scriptures teach us that we need to be born anew, reborn. And that's what happens with us. In baptism, we are given the Spirit. He brings us new life. We are joined to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul can elsewhere say, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is just a fact. That is an objective reality for any who trusts in Christ. The goal here is that we take that fact, that reality, and live it out. To me, to live is Christ. It's not just some abstract fact. That's the whole orientation of my life. When Paul says these words, do you remember where he is? Did you pick that up in the context of that reading? Where is he? He's in jail. He's been imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus. And it's possible that he might also be executed for having preached the gospel of Jesus. That's why he's having this kind of wrestling match with himself. Which is better? To live is Christ, to die is gain. And he's asking, you know, which is better? What should I choose? It's not like he really has a choice. But he's saying, if it was in front of me, which way would I go, right? So what would Paul do to live as Christ? If Paul were to be released, what is on Paul's mind that he's going to do? He's going to run to his family, right? Check back in with them. That's what I would do. That's not what he talks about. He finally gets out of this squalid, dark, damp, cold prison. Oh, I'm going to go tour the Mediterranean. Well, he might tour the Mediterranean, but with a very different purpose, a very different focus. No,
to me to live is Christ, Paul says.
And what is his focus? What is his ambition? What is his purpose if he is released? Verse 22, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Verse 24, it is more necessary for you, the people he's writing to, that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. For Paul, to live is Christ, and everything he is about is about making Christ known and strengthening the faith of others. So God, help us. Be our all in all, so that in my parenting, in my workplace, in my school, in my community, Jesus is the absolute center of everything. For me to live is Christ. May that be true more and more of all of us. And Paul says, for me to die is gain. To die is gain. What about you? What would you fill in that blank? To die is. And a lot of people very well might like to answer that way. They get the good things that happen for believers in Christ when they die. They might have their hopes set on finally being free of the experience of suffering. Maybe years and years of depression and anxiety, and looking forward to that day when you can be with Christ and free of that. Maybe it's physical ailments, cancer. Maybe it's family conflict and your own failure to be decent at times to people. Maybe you're eager to get rid of the sinful flesh and the capacity to sin and the temptation to sin. Maybe you're weary of the struggles of this world and believing that all of that is considered as a gain. And that's all good, right? For some, they might say to die is gain because I'll finally get to see that beloved relative that I miss and long for and love. And those are good and holy aspirations. How would you fill in that blank? To me, to die is, maybe you'd say scary. Maybe you'd say the exact opposite of Paul. To me, to die is loss. Maybe this is more true of people, you know, middle-aged and younger. You have all these things you hope to do and experience and accomplish. You think the people whose lives are humanly speaking dependent on you. And when you think of dying, you think of the loss that you would experience, that you'd miss out on or what others experience. How would you fill in that blank? To me to live is, Paul says, for me to die is gain. And what's the gain for Paul? When he considers the reality, the possible reality of his death, what is it that moves him to say, to die is gain? What is he looking forward to more than anything? Look at the next verse, right? I don't know what to choose. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. And that's the great gain for those who are in Christ Jesus in death. It's being with Christ. Yes, being free from temptation and the capacity to sin, no longer having the ability to fight and screw up. Yes, the beauty of being freed from this frail body and the difficulties of this world. But the greatest gain of all is to be with Christ. To see him, to bask in the glory of God's presence forever, to enjoy his love right there, face to face forevermore. That's what is driving Paul, even in that prison cell. That's what gives him confidence, even in the face of possible execution. To die is gain, because then I will be with Jesus. So you can see, whether he's living or whether he's dying, Jesus is his all in all. Jesus is everything to him. As you come this morning and you feed on Jesus himself, the bread of life,
now and always. And I pray, Jesus, be my everything. Be my daily food. Be my purpose, my goal, the whole substance of my life. Fill me every moment of every day, that we can all say with Paul together, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.